Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Oh, there you go. Morning. Good morning, everyone. How are you? I'm fine. Yes, I did sleep well. Did you? this week, we don't have handouts for devotionals. So we're going to send this around. If you'd like to receive this week's daily devotion for Rain in Life, then put your email address down here, and you won't receive any spam. You'll receive the daily devotion daily for this week, and we'll see if that works off better. There's Kids Church. Where's Jesmo? Jesmo's at the back. If you're a kid and you'd like to go to Kids Church, it's awesome. I've seen videos. I'm sure that if we'll watch the video next Sunday. I'm sure all of us would want to join in then. But it's really awesome. So there's that. And then I just wanted to say, to the guys who helped this morning, I'm scared to mention the names because I might forget someone. But I think we were a very small team this morning to set up everything that you see. It doesn't look like this when you arrive. That doesn't look like that. It's usually on the other side for the morning service, and we move it over. And all of this in the front doesn't look like this. It usually looks like, if you look behind it afterwards, you'll see what it looks like. And the guys, which I'm really just blessed by their faithfulness and their commitment and just their, let's just do this and have fun doing it. And so you know who you are. I really just appreciate you and just wanted to say thank you. I'm not going to single anyone out, but the other thing I wanted to say about it was we were having a good time setting up this morning. And at 9 o'clock, Jesmo came to us and said, "You know that it's 9 o'clock." And then we started into panic mode because the screen wasn't up, the black at the back wasn't up, there weren't chairs set out, so we were then like in a bit of a rush. It's a good adrenaline rush, right? So anyway, if you want to experience that, then come early, and you'll experience that. Is that better? Okay. So, Father, I want to thank you that your presence is here. Thank you that as we just look to you, Jesus, and our hearts are just open to receive, that even though we may be not talking about whatever we're needing right now, I thank you that it's going to minister to us, number one. But I thank you that, number two, whatever our need is, that Holy Spirit, you just minister to that need this evening. If it's healing, I thank you that as we look to you, the healer, we experience healing. If it's freedom, we'll experience freedom. If it's whatever breakthrough, whatever provision, I thank you that we're just going to experience that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're busy with Rain in Life, which has been a great series. I've enjoyed it. And tonight we're continuing on with that. But before we do, I want you to just turn to someone next to you and just tell them that they're not here by chance. So say you're not here by chance to the person next to you. The reason why that's important is because what we're going to be looking at this evening is has the huge potential to offend you. So, you know, I think it's awesome, and I think that you need to know that you're here for... It's fine. That's fine, thanks. You need to know that you're here not by accident, but that God, you know, has something for you this evening. And so even if I stand on your toes and they hurt a little bit, you will pray for you and they can get healed afterwards. Amen? It'll be fine. So everyone say it'll be fine. Okay, this morning when we spoke about what we're going to speak about, it was really awesome for me because there was a couple of people who came up and just said, you know, that really just ministered to me right now. And I was able, you know, even first-time visitors, we were able to minister into their situation, and it was really a blessing. So I know that it's going to be a blessing to you. But what we're going to talk about, as I said, has a potential to offend you, but it also has the potential to really liberate you and cause you to reign in life. And that's what the whole series is about, looking at how can we reign in life. Okay? Now, what we're talking about today, if you don't have a handle on this, and if you haven't started to walk in this, then you're not ever going to reign in life. So this is important. Okay, this is very important. We're talking about reigning over your emotions. Okay, because your emotions can reign over you, amen? Or you can reign over your emotions. Okay, I used to be dominated by my emotions, and you know, I think you're always a work in progress, but I've come a long way where, you know, I'm not dominated by them anymore. And let me not jump ahead. Let's just, first of all, just say that emotions were created by God for us to enjoy. So when we're talking about reigning over your emotions, we're not saying you have to be rocks and not feel anything. We're not saying that emotions are evil what we are saying is that you can indulge in good emotions or in bad emotions. You can have either or. Okay, so, you know, if I think about my wedding day, some good emotions. Hopefully if you do, you do too. Okay, when I think about holding my two boys for the first time, William and Elliot, you know, it's good emotions. If you think about specific good moments you experience, good things, good emotions. If you think about bad things you experience, negative emotions. Okay, I can't think of negative emotions, but, you know, one of the things, let me say this, joy is a great emotion, amen? Anger can be good or bad. There's godly anger. Godly anger would be aimed at injustice. It would be aimed at a wrong that you know should be, something should be like this, and it just makes you angry. Ungodly anger would be aimed at an individual or a person. We're not talking about our president or anyone like that. We're just talking about things in general. That's ungodly anger, when people we're angry at people, not at situations and circumstances. But we should be angry at the works of the devil, for example. That's godly anger. Sickness should make us angry. So negative emotions of fear, sadness, depression, anger aren't great. And if you indulge in them, you're going to have big problems. Amen? I mean, take anger to an extreme. Okay, think about anger to the extreme. How many of you suffer with anger? No, I'm joking. You don't suffer with anger. You struggle with anger. Okay? The people around you suffer with anger. Your anger. Okay? Anger to the extreme. You could kill someone. Okay? If you take depression or sadness to the extreme, you can possibly kill yourself. Extreme fear. Think about that for a moment. A lot of people struggle with fear. If you take fear to the extreme, it can paralyze you from making decisions and stepping forward in the purposes of God for your life, which means you'll never fulfill your destiny. So these kind of emotions, fear, anxiety, worry, sadness, depression, all of these kind of things, anger, we have to be able to control them, otherwise they'll control you. And they'll limit God's purposes and His plans for your life. Okay, John 14:1, we don't have it on the screen, but Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. If He didn't say, He said it, let me say it like this, He said it, so it's possible, that you have control over your heart, whether it's troubled or not. So emotions don't just happen to you. Okay, that's probably a huge revelation for a lot of you. I know it was for me years back, so I'm going to say it again. Emotions don't just happen to you. They are a direct result of something, of your focus and of your belief system. Okay? It doesn't just happen to you. Yeah, I kind of grew up believing that they were just what happened to you, and, you know, you kind of, we've all probably said it, or if not most of us, or we've heard people say things like, you just make me so angry. No. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you can't blame others for your getting angry, for example. Yes, they could push your buttons, but you need to learn to, hey, that button's dead. Push it as many times as you want. It's not going to do anything. I remember going, and I'm not perfect, but let me use an example that I can remember. I went on a mission trip to Madagascar. It was awesome. We were in the rainforest. It was a two-week hike to get there, but we were dropped off by a helicopter. So it was 3 hours or something. But we got into the rainforest, and we were a team, and I was about 16, I think, and there was a 14-year-old there. And this 14-year-old was trying to rub me up the wrong way, trying everything that he could to just get at me. And it was blatant. And I would just love him and whatever. I'd go off. I shouldn't have really just gone off and walked into the bush by myself, but I did. And I would pray, and I'd be like, God, I can't handle this, but I know that I've got the fruit of the Spirit, so thank you that you helped me to just experience patience with him and you know, just extend love towards him and all of this. And the whole trip, I didn't explode once. He came to me at the end. It's not all glory to me. It's only Jesus. But he came to me at the end, and he said, I'm so frustrated with you. I can't handle it. How is it I'm not getting through to you? I'm trying to irritate you. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm sorry that you're trying to get at me. I love you, and it's been a great trip with you. And just played it cool, which got to him a little bit more, but anyway. But, you know, we shouldn't be governed by emotions.
Our society and our culture is governed by emotions. So if you think about it. Now, I'm not thinking about anyone in particular here. Okay, so lest you think I'm thinking of you, I'm not. This is just something I wrote down as I was preparing. But sometimes, you know, someone will commit to something, and last minute or even just beforehand, they'll say, I don't feel like doing it anymore, so they'll drop out. They'll maybe come up with a better excuse than that. But that's an emotional decision. If you've made a commitment, you follow through on that, come hell or high water. Because it's always the right time to do the right thing. You know, it might not be a commitment to be involved or help with church or something like that. It might simply just be that you committed to meet a friend at a certain time, and all of a sudden you don't feel like doing it anymore. So you phone them up and you say, sorry, I'm not going to make it today. That's an emotional decision, and it's actually ungodly. Now, if your toes are hurt, we'll pray for them at the end. Okay? John 8:32. This is for you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Another translation does say set you free. But, you know, the truth might not make you feel good tonight. But it will long-term make you feel good. Might not make you feel good now, but long-term, it'll help you. So if you accept what we're talking about tonight, it might not be comfortable now, but it will be in a few years' time, or a few months' time, or a few weeks' time, depending how you respond to it. Okay? So here's a truth that many people don't like to hear. Okay, that's what the whole sermon is, pretty much. But we should not let our emotions control us. We should control them. Okay, negative emotions don't just happen to you. Negative emotions don't just happen to you. They're a choice based on your knowledge and your perception, based on your belief system. You allow yourself to get depressed. Now, if you're suffering with depression, there's no condemnation. Everyone say, there's no condemnation. I'm not angry at you. God's not angry at you. You're not a second-rate believer. We all struggled with something, if not struggling with something, and there's grace to help you overcome. Amen? Yeah, I struggled with negative emotions and depression or stuff like that. Had suicidal thoughts even and broke free from it through the Word. Okay? That was years back. Marna, my wife, was on antidepressants. She was had them prescribed because she had to drop out of a study thing that she was doing simply because it was so bad. You know, a friend and her were depressed at the same time, and they would phone each other up in the morning to try and wake each other up to go to just have coffee together. So she knows what it's like to be depressed. I do. And in 2011, she went off completely from her medication and was set free. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go off your medication unless you're healed. She was healed, so she went off her medication. Okay? But what I want you to see is that, you know, we know what we're talking about. We've experienced it. And so there's no condemnation if you're suffering with anxiety, with fear, with whatever the case is. But you need to know that you don't have to. In Christ, you can be victorious, and you can experience the abundant life, which doesn't include fear, which doesn't include depression, which doesn't include any negative emotions. Amen? Emotions are a byproduct of your belief system. Okay? They are completely dependent on what you believe. Just to illustrate that right in the beginning, if I was to come to you, Jacques, use yourself as an example here. But let's say I just say, you know, Jacques, I just got a phone call. My phone rang, I answered it, and I said, you know, your mom's just passed away. What are you going to experience? Sadness, you're going to start to grieve. You know, pat, you know, bit of a cry, whatever, however you're going to deal with it. And then I just say, you know, I'm just joking. What are you going to experience? Anger? You're going to box me in the nose? You know, your emotions will change quite radically. Now, when you were experiencing grief, that grief was based on a lie. It was not rooted in anything true. But as soon as I changed my tune, your emotions changed, and it was you're angry. So your emotions are based on what you believe. So if you want your emotions to change what you believe. 1 Corinthians 14:32. And the spirits of the prophets our subject to the prophets. Now, we use this in terms of the spiritual gifts, but if you look up the Greek word for spirits, the spirits of the prophets, it's also defined as the rational spirit, the power by which the human being feels, thinks, and decides. So it's talking about an attitude of the heart. So what it's saying is that your emotions are your choice. Your emotions are under your control. You may not know that, and you may have just realized, well, I'm not actually controlling my emotions. They're just running wild. The reason is because you're letting them run wild. It's not because they are wild, okay? You can control your emotions. Amen? Deuteronomy. Let's read that one. Because, 27 to 48. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore shall you serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. In hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Jesus is a few books after this, a couple hundred years. He bore my punishments and my judgment so that I didn't have to. But in this scripture, what it's saying is that God was saying, hey, you served me, which is the right thing, but because you didn't serve me with the right emotions, with the right heart, joy and gladness, it's wrong. And because of that, I'm going to judge you. I've judged you. And because of that, I'm punishing you. You know, just because, hey, you didn't put out a chair with joyfulness. Punish you. Thank God for Jesus. Everyone say, thank God for Jesus. Look at the Message version, verse 47. It says, because you did not serve God, your God, out of joy, out of the joy and goodness of your heart, in the great abundance, you'll have to serve your enemies. God was basically, in this verse, calling the people to account for their own actions. You will not be punished by God for your negative emotions, but you are still responsible for them. And you still have to make the decision of what emotions are you going to have. You get to choose. Okay? The Bible teaches us that our thoughts are the determining factor which control our emotions. Now, they control our actions. So if you want to change any habit, if you want to change any negative feelings, change your focus and your thinking, and you'll change your life. Last week's sermon is that message entirely. Go online, get it, listen to it. It's about how to reign in difficult circumstances, and we talk about focus and perspective. Okay? But Proverbs 23, verse 7, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is basically just showing us that our beliefs, our focus is vitally important. Okay? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you want your so is he to change, your outward, you've got to think right. You've got to have the right inside to have the right outside. You with me? Okay, for to be carnally minded is death. If you're focused on the wrong things, you're going to experience negative things. Turn it around. If you're experiencing negative things, it's probably because you're focused on the wrong things. Hello? If you're experiencing negative emotions, it's not a demon attacking you. I'll talk about that in a moment. It's you focused on the wrong things. Okay, I really believe demons can make you feel unhappy and sad and depressed and all of that, but don't blame the demons. You've got more authority over the devil than he has over an ant. Okay? No one can consistently perform directly than the way that you think. So your thinking is everything. Your emotions are linked directly to the way that you think. So if you don't like the emotions that you're experiencing, change your focus and your thinking. Start to focus on God's word. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed, your children, may live. God's saying, the choice is yours. You will experience negative things in life, but you get to choose. Am I going to be joyful about in this and through this, or am I going to be depressed? Am I going to allow a situation to make me bitter or better? Am I going to experience the blessing in this or the curse? It's up to you. Life isn't what happens to you. It's how you respond to what happens to you. Okay? You can take two different people experiencing the same thing. The one comes out victorious. The other one ends up worse. Why? Because they chose to respond differently. You need to choose to respond differently than the world responds, and you'll experience differently. Amen? Are we on the same page? Good. All of us have negative experiences, you know, but the choice is ours whether we become bitter or better. So, this is interesting. I think many of us blame our problems, our life and our situation on things that we've experienced. But problems do not dictate failure. What dictates failure is the way you respond to problems. Okay? If you respond to negative things the wrong way, you will fail. If you respond correctly, as you know, as a child of God, you can overcome. With Jesus, you can overcome anything. If you respond properly, you will be victorious. Okay? God Almighty gave you a choice. He doesn't make the choice for you. He isn't determining whether you're living in victory or in defeat. Okay? The devil can't force it on you. You choose life or death, blessing or cursing. Okay? So, you know, one of the first things you've got to do in reigning over your emotions is realizing that how I am right now isn't someone else's fault. So you've got to stop the blame shifting. Because it's very easy. It started in the garden when Adam said, you know, it's the woman that you gave me. And since then, there's been blame shifting all the time. You know, the reason why my life is a mess is because I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Okay, I know very few people. I can't think of anyone who didn't grow up in a dysfunctional family of sorts. Most people have some sort of dysfunction. Some, even if it's a little bit, there's something there. Okay? So, you know, no one's perfect. You can't blame your circumstances. You can't blame your surroundings. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation, you've got no excuse. Okay? Regardless of what others do to you, you can prosper through Christ. So, emotions are a byproduct of what you think on. Another way of saying it is that your emotions reveal what you believe. So if you don't like some emotion that you're experiencing, think about it for a moment. You're probably believing something wrong. If you're not experiencing joy, even in the midst of a great difficult time, a troubled time, a persecution even, if you're not experiencing joy, your focus is wrong. You believe something wrong. You know, it's sad when someone dies. I've had people die, and I'm sad when they die. But if they're a believer, the Bible says we don't mourn as those without hope. Because we know that eternity is here. We know that they're going to live forever, and we're going to see them one day with Jesus. If you really believe that, your mourning will be very short, and you won't be upset for too long, and you will start to rejoice. If you don't start to rejoice, You can shed a few tears, it's fine. But if you don't start to rejoice, it's because your focus is completely wrong and you don't really believe what the word says. Now that might be a bit hard to chew and difficult to swallow, but just keep chewing on it and eventually I think it'll get down to size, right? Proverbs 23 verse 7 again, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you want the outside to change, the inside's got to change. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind has stayed on you because he trusts in you. Peace is a byproduct of focusing on God and on his word. Romans 8:6 again, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You cannot operate consistently in a way which is inconsistent with what you truly believe. Okay? It will come out. You know, you will start to act in accordance with what you truly believe. If you're not thinking right, your mind is not being renewed. Okay? We've got to, you know, Romans 12 verse 2 says that we are transformed, changed by the renewing of our mind. If you're not experiencing that renewal, it's because you're not in the Word. You need to get into the Word so you can experience that. Okay? And if you're not experiencing that, then fear, anxiety, depression will be the result. Because you're not being spiritually minded, you're being carnally minded. Negative emotions are not demons, as I've said, that just come upon you. I believe that the demonic is an influence, and it can become a problem. And if you feel like your negative emotions are just uncontrollable, then come up, we'll pray for you, it'll be broken, and then you can start to renew your mind, and you'll start to experience a consistent victory. Okay, but don't expect to come up here if you're experiencing negative emotions and you feel like it's demonic. And even if it is, and we pray and we break it, for everything to just be smooth sailing from here on. Why? Because Jesus didn't say that you'd be set free through deliverance. He never said that ever. So many people want that to be the answer. You know, wave their hand over me. And just pray, it's your faith, I'm free, and thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you don't know the truth, we can set you free, and you'll go straight back into bondage. You have to get established in the truth of the Word to experience freedom. So get a hold of Rooted at the table there. Get a hold of the I Am devotion. Get established in truth. You know, do the Reign in Life devotion. Get established in truth. You'll start to experience freedom. For me, when I was experiencing a lot of negative emotions and stuff, I did this exercise. On one side of the page, I wrote down all the negative emotions I was experiencing. Drew a line. And every time I had a negative thought, I would write it down. And then I would look in the Word, and I would pull out from the Word what the Word said about me, which is usually the opposite. And the Word is my reality. The Word is what I should be believing, not my feelings. Because remember, feelings aren't reality. Okay? Remember the example? Your mother's dead, but she's not dead. Okay? So, I wrote down all that, and every time I had a negative feeling, I'd go and I'd just start to declare what the Word said. It was a bit of effort to actually do that. But sometimes you just need to do what you got to do. So, it doesn't have to be difficult, but you should be willing to just do what it takes. Amen. So, people don't make you angry. People cause your goals and your desires not to be met. Okay? And this causes you to be angry. Because you're not in control, and what you want is not coming to pass. It's not Etienne who's making me angry. It's the fact that he's blocking me from achieving what I want to achieve, or, you know, just as an example. So people don't make you angry. They're just pushing your button, and you're choosing to be angry. My favorite example there or analogy would be, I'm just squeezing your toothpaste. What's inside is coming out. If anger's inside, it's going to come out. Okay? Circumstances are the pressure on your toothpaste which force whatever's inside to come out. So if circumstances are challenging and things aren't so great and what's inside is not nice and it's coming out, then start to change what you believe. Start to focus on Jesus more. Start to renew your mind in the Word, and you'll start to experience better feelings. If what you believe does not reflect the truth, then what you feel does not reflect reality. Feelings are not reality, as I said earlier. The problem is that we treat them as if they were. You cannot treat your feelings as if they are reality, because they're not. You know, I felt like killing myself once, and I didn't because I knew it was wrong. It's a great example, I think. Sometimes I feel like hitting people. I don't. because I know it's wrong, and I get into deeper trouble. Sometimes, you know, if someone cuts you off in traffic, you feel like driving into them. Maybe I do, you don't. You know, and I don't because I know it's wrong, so I choose not to. Now, you're probably thinking I'm a terrible person. I'm sure you have the same thing. Okay, but the point is you choose what you're going to feel and how you're going to react and respond to things. If you want to reign in life, you've got to choose to reign in life. Okay? 1 John 3, 20-21 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God." There's lots of things we can pull out of this. The main thing I want to pull out of it is it says, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. If your feelings are wrong, are negative, go by what the Word says. Because God is greater than your feelings. The Word is greater than your feelings. If you feel depressed, if you're feeling lonely, reject it. Look at the Word which says, Hebrews 13 verse 5, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." Choose to believe that and say, you know what, I'm not going to feel negative. I'm choosing not to be depressed or feel lonely because the Word says I'm never alone. I'm going through a challenging time. You know, the Bible says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will experience no negative emotions." That's what it says. So hey, it doesn't matter if I'm going through hell, I'm going to have a good time. Because God's with me. Amen? Amen? Romans 3 verse 4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar." Let your circumstances and your feelings, just let them go because they're a lie. If they're not based on God's Word, they shouldn't be your reality. Now, if you've got pain in your body, That is a reality, but it's not the higher reality. God's not asking you to ignore it. He's asking you to rather look to the Word, which says, "By His stripes you were healed," and focus on that rather than focusing on your pain. If you're experiencing negative and challenging things, and it's just making you depressed or whatever, God's not asking you not to focus on He's not asking you to pretend that your circumstances don't exist. He's just saying, instead of focusing on the negative, focus on me. Focus on what my Word says. Let that be true and not what you're experiencing. This shows us that your well-being and survival as a believer depends on your knowledge of the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. If you want to live as a believer, you need faith, which means you need to know what the Word says. And the enemy runs circles around so many believers because they don't know their Bible. They don't know what the gospel is. They don't know who Jesus really is. They think they know. But they're not, it's not based on what the Bible says. They learned or something like that. So the best illustration of the relationship between feelings and emotions that I've been able to find is in Lamentations chapter 3. Now, you're probably grateful it's on the screen tonight. You don't have to try and find that one, right? So here in this chapter, what we're going to look at is you'll see that the prophet Jeremiah, he's expressing despair. He's expressing all these negative emotions, okay? And it's all because he's perceiving that God is against him. And you'll see as we read on that he's wrongly perceiving that. Okay? He's wrongly perceiving that God is against him. And that's why he's having negative emotions. So we're going to look at it. He thinks that God is causing his physical problems, but he's not. God's not causing your problems either. We looked at that last week. Lamentations chapter 3, 1 to 6. "I am the man who has seen affliction because of the rod of his wrath. He has driven me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he has turned his hand repeatedly all the day." Sounding great, isn't it? This guy really believes God's like just beating him. You might feel like that this evening. This is going to set you free. Okay? Verse 4.
He has caused my flesh and my skin to waste away. He has broken my bones. He wants to serve a God like that. Verse 5. He has besieged me and encompassed me with bitterness and hardship. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have long been dead. Exciting, isn't it? Listen to how his feelings get worse. Entrapment and fear. He says, he has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He's trapped me. I'm stuck. He has made my chain heavy. I can't go anywhere. Even when I cry out and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. This doesn't sound like the God I know. He has blocked my ways and hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in secret places. Basically saying he's just waiting for an opportunity to devour me. He has turned aside my ways and torn me into pieces. He has made me desolate. Verse 18, so I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Now, you know what's even worse? Is you're going to get some Christian who will make that into a song. And what's even worse than that is people will sing it in church. We won't, but lots of people will. I'm not going to give you examples. Some of you know the examples. But you can't just take stuff out the Bible and say that this is what God says. This is what Jeremiah said. And it's wrong. It's there for us as a learning experience and as an example. And we're going to look further down now why. Okay? But if your hope was in God and these words were a correct description of what God was doing to you and who God was, I think you'd be depressed too, right? What was Jeremiah's problem? It wasn't God. Okay? His first problem was that what he believed about God was not true. What he believed about God was not true. If you are upset with God, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter what it is, if you are angry with God for anything, what you believe about God is not true. Period. No exceptions. God, you know, what you believe about God is wrong if you're angry with him. Jesus is our example, right? Is it true? He's our example. Was he ever angry with God? No. You don't have the right. Okay, the second problem that Jeremiah had, or what was his problem, let me say, it was that he believed, what he believed about God wasn't true. And then, you know, God wasn't the cause of his affliction. This is what he did not know. He didn't know that God didn't make him walk in darkness. He didn't know that God wasn't a wild beast waiting to just destroy him, tear him from, you know, completely apart. Jeremiah wasn't thinking right, and so Jeremiah didn't feel right. Jeremiah wasn't feeling right, and so he didn't live right. The same is true of you. If you're not living right or feeling right, it's because you don't believe right. What you believe is vitally important. Okay? He starts to sing a different tune from verse 19 onwards. So let's look at that. Thank God for the rest of the verse. It says, remember my affliction, my wandering, my wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope in him. Now someone made a song out of that, and that's pretty good. Don't mind singing that one. But you can see that all of a sudden his tune completely changed. Okay, it's like opposites. Bipolar opposites almost. Okay, but you see, it's completely different. What changed? God didn't change. Okay, the Bible says God never changes. Jeremiah's situation and his circumstances did not change. What changed was his view of God, what he believed about God, and his emotions followed suit. Okay, so we're going to look quickly at how do we deal with our emotions then? Because, you know, it's fine to know that, hey, you shouldn't indulge in negative emotions, but you need to know how to deal with them, right? The first thing you need to know is that there's a process for victory and a process for defeat. So if you're experiencing defeat right now, it didn't just happen to you. It's been a process to get there. And if you want to experience victory, it's a process to get there. Okay, and this process is renewing your mind. You can't pray for patience. Sorry about that. Okay, you can't ask God that you won't be anxious. It's not going to work. I don't believe God can answer that prayer. Okay? You can't rebuke negative feelings and thoughts. You have to choose to replace them with what God's word says. And when you replace them, then you'll start to experience different feelings and emotions as a result. Okay, so realize that you need to realize that what you believe affects your emotions. And so if you're having a problem, you need to get to the root of it and change your thinking. Romans 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want to experience change, you've got to change your way of thinking. Okay? Then the second thing, which I want to leave with you, with regard to dealing with your emotions, is walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? Now, this is a brilliant scripture. You can apply it to a lot of things. But what I want you to see is that the answer for you to deal with your negative emotions, whether it's anger, depression, whatever, you fill in the blank, isn't now to focus on that, anger, and just be like, God, and you start praying about it, you start talking to people about it, your depression. You know, if you focus on something, you're empowered. So the more you focus on your depression, the more you focus on your anger and trying and praying about it and all of this type of stuff, the more you're empowering it, the more you're feeding it, the worse it's going to get. Okay? So don't do that. Do what the scripture says. It doesn't say that denying the flesh will produce walking in the Spirit. It doesn't say that. What it says is that walking in the Spirit will produce denying of the flesh. So now if you walk in the Spirit, you will deny the flesh. You don't have to deny the flesh to walk in the Spirit. If you think about it when you get home, it'll make more sense maybe. But it really is profound. What it's saying is that you don't chase out darkness before you put the light on. You put the light on and the darkness just leaves. So stop focusing on the problem. Stop praying about the problem. Stop talking to everyone about the problem. Start focusing on Jesus. Start focusing on the Word. Start elevating what God's Word says about your situation and about your life. Start magnifying that and making that more important. You'll start to experience transformation and victory. Okay? You know, as we experience more and more presence and power of the Spirit in our lives, the influence of the flesh diminishes. And this is the order that victory comes in. Walking in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is walking in the Spirit? Being word-minded, being focused on the things of God. Meditating, focusing on what God's Word says. So don't focus on your fear, your depression, and your anger to try and deal with it. Focus on Jesus. Don't try and change yourself. That's legalism. Don't try and change yourself. That's legalism. Focus on Jesus. Allow Him to change your heart. That's grace. And that's how we should be living our lives. Just focused on Jesus, not trying to focus on dealing with problems in our lives, but focused on Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's close our eyes. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that you have destined us to reign and rule in life, and that you've set it up so that we can live in victory, so that we can reign over our emotions. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to suffer negative emotions. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be angry when people push our buttons and cut us off in traffic or whatever the case is. Thank you, Father, that we can be constant. We can always be full of joy, full of patience, full of love, kindness, and self-control. All the fruit of the Spirit. It's ours. It's inside of us. Thank you for that, Father.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.